You're listening to Vatican Radio. Representatives of the Catholic, Anglican and Muslim worlds gathered for the first time ever in the Vatican press office on Monday for the launch of a global freedom network aimed at eradicating human trafficking by the end of the decade. The groundbreaking agreement to work closely together across the different faith communities was signed by Bishop Marcelo Sanchez Sorondo on behalf of Pope Francis. The Argentinian bishop is Chancellor of the Pontifical Academies of Science and Social Sciences, which brought together a broad coalition of anti-trafficking experts for a workshop last November. He was joined by New Zealand Archbishop David Moxon, Director of the Anglican Centre here in Rome and representative of the Archbishop of Canterbury to the Holy See. Also on hand to sign the founding declaration was Dr. Mahmoud Azab, representing the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, one of the most important centres of Sunni Islam located in the Egyptian capital Cairo. The other key figure to put his signature to the document was Andrew Forrest, founder of a philanthropic organisation called Walk Free Foundation, based in the Australian city of Perth. Set up after Forrest's daughter travelled to Nepal, where children were being caught up in a trafficking for prostitution ring, its aim is to stamp out this modern form of slavery by galvanising and supporting action at local, national and international level. Planned actions include urging governments to publicly endorse the establishment of the Global Fund to End Slavery and persuading multinational businesses to commit to eradicating slavery from their supply chains. By mobilising the world's major faith communities, this new network hopes to bring an end by 2020 to what Pope Francis has dared to call a crime against humanity. Archbishop Marcelo Sanchez Sorondo.
We can say it's not politically correct to say that the new forms of slavery and the traffic, human trafficking, is a crime against humanity, but we want to arrive to consider also the law, the international law and the national law, this as crime to humanity. Because in the contrary, we don't have an instrument to take the traffickers. This is a real question.
Do you see this as an important part of the ecumenical outreach of the Vatican, of the Catholic Church?
Well, you know, the ecumenical relations have two parts. One part more theoretical, that is to clarify the different positions between the Christians, between the other religions, and the contents of our faith. And this is very important. But anyway, for other questions, like the human question, common values of humanity, we can work together. And this could be also important, indirectly we can say, to consider also the other part, the theoretical part. And this is a new thing, a real new thing that I think is the first time that we work together in one concrete thing.
Catholics, Anglicans and Muslims mark just the beginning of what organisers sincerely hope will expand to include representatives of all other faith communities as well. They're also aware that much work is already being done to tackle prevention, prosecution and protection of trafficking victims. What's been missing up till now, says Anglican Archbishop David Moxon, is a joined-up approach to the problem. You're here launching this Global Freedom Network. Can you take us back to the origins? Where did the idea first come from?
I think from a Christian point of view, it started in the mind of the Pope and in the mind of the Archbishop of Canterbury. They were inaugurated 2 days apart from each other last year, and then they met in July over lunch here in the Vatican. And one of the topics that came up naturally and automatically was their mutual concern over the rising levels of modern slavery and human trafficking. They both mentioned it to each other over lunch, having thought about it and spoken about it before. So you had a sense even then in that lunchtime conversation of a potential synergy, a potential mutual hope that they might link arms. Nothing was done in particular at that point. However, in discussions afterwards and other opportunities, this network emerged from the parties who are here today, which is the Pontifical Academy of Science and Social Science, Lambeth Palace itself, including the Anglican Alliance Network, the Grand Imam's representative, and also Walk Free, the big Australian philanthropic anti-slavery group. The four of us coming together to create a global freedom network to put in practice, if you will, the passion and the concern of the Pope and the Archbishop of Canterbury and of other faith leaders.
So you've got the Catholic world, you've got the Anglican world and a part of the Muslim world. The obvious parts missing from the picture are the Orthodox world and perhaps the Jewish world.
Yes, we see today as an inauguration of an ever-increasing circle of networks. So we particularly want to launch now. We don't want to waste any time, but the network itself is wide open and indeed searching for other faith-based partners and including other Christian denominations. The Orthodox churches are most welcome and we will be approaching them. The Jewish communities, the Jewish faith will be welcome. We're approaching them. We had to start somewhere with a kind of basis, but within a year we hope to see much more faith represented.
There are an awful lot of religious organisations already working on the ground, fighting trafficking, yes, trying to prevent people getting caught up in this terrible form of slavery. How are you hoping to tap into all that wealth that's already there?
You're quite right, and I pay tribute, and we did here today, to over three decades of hard work by religious, by lay people, by clergy, by all kinds of Christian-based networks in the struggle. What was missing, though, and what is new about today, is a global network of joined-up thinking, so that coordination and facilitation across the globe in a multifaceted approach, both at the prevention level and also the rescue level, needs to occur in a massive surge of interest and joined-up action, because global slavery is increasing. It's nearly approaching 30 million. It's flying in the face of every attempt by the police, by the United Nations, by government, by law changes, by social work to stem the tide. So we clearly need much more concerted, joined-up thinking, and that's what got us going.
And how is this going to work on a very practical level? How are you hoping to tackle, as you say, this exponential rise in the number of people caught up in trafficking?
There are two basic approaches. One is prevention and one is rescue. Prevention, of course, is approaching governments, civil societies, national organisations, the United Nations, for a more concerted effort and lending the support of faith bases to that activity. So, for example, wherever there is a government living with slavery, the church can raise awareness, can be a political lobby, can constantly keep it on the agenda, because a faith-based community lives and works with this on the ground. Wherever there's a brothel with trafficking in it, wherever there's a sweated labour scenario, there is a parish, there is a mosque, there is a temple. We have the global reach to be aware of what's happening in our own neighbourhood, and bringing that experience from the ground to the attention of the authorities, putting more moral pressure on it and offering our own help, not only in rescue but in prevention. And I think it's that joining up of prevention and rescue that's so important.
Statistics show some 30 million men, women and children are currently caught in the clutches of human traffickers, and that figure is believed by many to be just the tip of the iceberg. Organisers of this Global Freedom Network are hoping to touch the hearts of all believers to help put an end to this exploitation, which they call a shameful affront to our common humanity. I'm Philippa Hitchin.